I'm Van.
I'm Sorry.
That's Sparky.
And Salty.
Where's the big homie Chip? Did we lose him again?
No, he's right here. Chip.
It's Chip, Chirpy.
Chip, Chirpy, Foil.
Foily.
And Chill. Or Chili.
So we're going to be reviewing I Am the Black Wizards by Emperor.
You guys believe it?
It's
been a long time.
This is some true cult black metal.
Oh, really?
A Dissection was black metal, apparently. The one we did yesterday.
Yeah.
It's a Black Fire show. We missed it. But this, we know for sure.
You said Dissection is probably... But I had already put the main...
Yeah.
Card
the underground card
the
on
underground
it.
The underground card on it.
But this, I know for sure, is black metal. And if somebody hits us up and says, actually, Emperor's not black... Well, look, we talked to Zen from Niebla Viscaris. He said that this was black metal. So don't...
Take it up with him.
Don't be crazy. Also, speaking of Zen, he's actually going on tour with Ishan, the singer.
Oh, really?
Remember you said that was his hero and all that?
He's
going on tour with them. So check those guys out. They're important. So who's our featured? Where in the world are the villagers?
We have Chris Culp.
Chris Culp.
From Bakersfield.
You know what's important about Bakersfield?
I think Chris was the first picture we got.
But do you know what else is important about Bakersfield? Bakersfield is a very important moment in rock history.
Oh, is it?
It's corn. That's where they came from. Bakersfield,
why does it always come back to corn?
Bakersfield, California. Shout out. I just got to say something real quick. One of our villagers, Steven, he is going to buy a shirt.
Oh, yeah.
But he's buying a shirt for a villager. Like, what? Don't cry. You always get so emotional.
I feel like it.
We just have the... I just feel like we have the best group of collection of people, like, period.
Oh,
and they're all walks of life.
Obviously.
It's like all walks of life. So we got De Herrera. I mean, it's $25. And he's like, send it to somebody. So I guess, okay, so.
So it's not designated for a certain person?
No, it's not. It's just basically he wants to buy a shirt and he wants to give it away.
I thought you said there was a mom. You said that there was a mom that was asking for a shirt.
There was. There's a lot of people. So the phrase on the back, maybe you're sick because of your secrets, is this the phrase on the back of the shirt. If we were responsible, we'd have a shirt here.
All right, keep talking.
And so I guess what I'll say is if you send us an email, we'll leave the... There you go. We'll leave the contest open for, you know, 3 or 4 days. But if you send an email about what that phrase means to you, Sori and I will select the best one so that
and you will be the winner.
When DH buys that shirt, we'll send it to you.
It's only going to go to if you're deep. If you're not a deep person, sorry.
Oh my gosh, Sori.
You're out of luck.
You're terrible. Okay, so there you go. There you go. Good stuff. Good stuff. Okay, so this is I Am the Black Wizard. This is an interesting title. I Am the Black Wizards, plural.
Yeah, I know.
I'm pretty sure that that's the right thing, so... Inshallah, the song will explain itself to us. I Am the Black Wizards, Emperor. Let's do it.
And go. it's so weird because I know it's a terrible song, like what they talk about in the lyrics. I understand that. But so the first time we listened to it, this is the second time we listened to it, because the first time
the production was terrible.
It was so bad. I was so annoyed. I'll release the video to the patrons. But like listening to it the second time, I was like, I actually like it. The first time I didn't at all.
Yeah, I feel like it was a combination of, like, I think your brain, this like happens to me a lot when I play guitar, like, oh, that's good, that's a good sequence, and I try like hell to get it, and I never get it. Mm-hmm. If I put the guitar down, go eat or whatever, I can come and fly on it, no problems. Like that shit that I was playing.
Oh, I don't think that's what I'm saying, though.
No, I'm just saying, like, the brain, like, acclimates to like certain sounds or whatever.
No, I don't think my brain acclimated to Judas Priest. My brain did not acclimate to this. I think that what happened was the production was so bad on the first one, and it wasn't hitting the notes properly, and everything was meshed together like a big mess. There was nothing that was melodic about it at all. It just sounded like trash. I hated it. It like irritated me. But this though, when we listened to it the second time, there was some of those notes in there, man, where I don't know.
It was entrancing.
It was, yes. It was beautiful. And they have like this, it was weird because I felt like there was like what was going on in the lyrics that was like kind of in the front, but in the back, like there was mountains and high, you know, precipice and all these like cool things with like the epic sound of the music. And like, so there was like the craziness.
This was
of the
done
lyrics.
In what, 1991?
But these lyrics are like, it's funny because 94. These people are like the opposite of Ghost.
Right.
Like these are like, we're going to show you the real raw shit of what it actually is. Ghost is like, we'll hide.
Well, I didn't really feel that this one was particularly satanic in the technical sense. Like, this is obviously, like, this creature, whatever he is obviously a dark, evil person, but, like...
I thought it was the devil, because he's controlling all the wizards.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, if you look at the Book of Enoch, like, there are thrones, principalities, powers. I mean, there are different degrees of the hierarchy in the satanic realm, so just because... I mean, this could be very well be just a high-powered demon that overwatches wizards. I mean, it doesn't have to be the devil.
I don't know. We'll have to read through. But mightiest am I.
I don't. Yeah, but then he admits things that he doesn't know, right? Like, guarded by old demons, even unknown to me, he says. So right there.
I just thought, so when I read that, it was just... You know, like, two things came to mind. You know how there's, like, what are you doing? It makes me want to kiss you. Don't do that.
Like I wanted to do that.
You're so cute. You know, like, when, like, kings or whatever, like, they don't know the nothing little, people that
the peons.
Yeah, they don't know any of them. My sister used to say that. The peons,
yeah.
The peons. Anyway, so they don't know them, you know what I mean? So I thought of that, and then I also thought of the Bible verse where it says, like, that some people are going to come before God, and they're going to say, didn't I do this for you? Didn't I do that for you? Blah, blah, blah. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. So I thought of that because of the whole, like, even unknown to me, like there's so much, I'm not even sure how I was connecting that verse but like the separation, you know, like the loneliness that comes with, so like the separation, like they're even unknown to me.
I don't even think that that's even close to what this guy's talking
about.
Well,
yeah, it could be. But I'm telling you, this is my experience. This is my reaction to this song.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start
from the
top.
I'm sure I'll get some social justice guys saying, sorry, he's not being heard or whatever. It's interesting, is like we had a little bit of a jihad about which song we were going to do.
Yeah, we did.
And it seems like we made the right choice here. It seemed like you really enjoyed the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really feel like this was like... I just feel like with the Ghost, there were clear, like, biblical allusions. Whereas this one, it's just a dark, evil being that travels through time and all this shit. Like, it doesn't sound, like, satanic to me at all.
Oh, I guess, like, what I'm saying is the... Well, I mean, it doesn't... You know, Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me.
Well, it's not a Christian song.
He says, yeah, but it sounds like... I feel like whatever hell is, however you want to define it, it's going to be an evil, horrible, terrible place. And so when he says,
My Timeless Prison of Hate.
Yes, a Timeless Prison of Hate. I was like, oh my gosh. And then he says, it is delightful to feast upon the screaming souls that were destroyed in my future. That were destroyed in my future. Didn't really understand that, but that's because he traveled back in time, I guess.
Well, he can go back and back and forth.
Yeah.
It's an interesting literary device, though. What?
Just the picture that you get. Maybe it's just a little visual for me.
Well, the
it
term,
is delightful to feast upon the screaming souls.
The term were is past tense. But he says, in my future.
Yeah.
So that's a very, very interesting literary device.
Yeah, because your mind goes were. No, were. Forward, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I don't... This didn't seem to be particularly satanic to me, but it was definitely a dark song. And of course, like, when I thought about the Timeless Prison of Hate and the feasting upon screaming souls and people being destroyed, I didn't think about hell.
What did you think about?
I thought about now. Like, people are locked in timeless prisons of hate now.
Oh.
They pass on these generational sort. We were talking about this last night or this morning. Like, people have...
Yeah, but they're being summoned to his timeless prison of hate. Once destroyed, their souls are being summoned to my... So they destroy their souls in their living life, and now they're being summoned to the prison of hate.
Well, yeah, I know what it's saying. I'm just saying, like, the real-world application of it to me. Because we had that conversation about how people... A terrible event happens in a family 100 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and then that affects this person, it affects this person all the way till here,
mm.
and so now you have this whole, like, almost family tradition of, like, fucked up evil shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And people get locked up in, like, a prison of hate. And so, like, if I was a demon, like I always say, like, I'm not a very big afterlife guy. I'm a more here and now guy. Not that I don't believe that the afterlife is real, because I do, for better or for worse. But, like, there are things that happen now that are locking people up in prisons and locking people up. And if there are evil spirits, they're feasting on them now, because obviously from our theology, they don't feast on anything in the afterlife.
Yeah.
Like, the demons and shit, if they're going to feast, they're going to do it now, because, you know, when they ran into Jesus, they weren't saying, hey, send us to hell so that we could rule in hell. They were saying... It's not time yet.
Yeah.
Let us go into the pigs. You know what I mean? So, like, if I was, like, so to me, it's like, when I look at this, I'm like, okay, like, here and now, there are people that are locked into, there's whole family systems that are locked into, they pass shit down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, certain forms of abuse that create people locked into, and we've talked about this, like, you know, with this whole... Everybody's trying to figure out how to deal with women and sexual abuse and then there's the outgrowth of, like, man-hating,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, we talk about, you know, you go through that, And on one hand, it feels empowering, but on the other hand, it locks you in a prison.
No, it does. It does lock me in a prison, and I know that, and even, like I said to you the other night, even some of the ways that I relate to God, being that there are times where God, speaks about himself in feminine sort of terms.
Sure.
You know, where he, like, gathers his people toward him like a mother hen gathers her chicks.
Right.
But those are few and far between. The majority of the time, he speaks from
masculine
pronouns. Plus, he comes across very masculine. And so I think that some of the ways that
he incarnated as a male.
And he incarnated as a male, right. So I think part of me has even a hard time in ways to relate to God because of my issues with men. Like, feel like men aren't trustable and men are this and they're that, which also makes it so that way. Obviously, like, you know, even the way that I relate, you know, to our sons, I'm more likely to think they did the thing wrong than the girls did. I'm more likely to let the girls get away with something than I am to let the boys get away with something.
Right. And you know, of course, you know, I come to a relationship with my own set of issues and baggage that, and that's the whole self-awareness thing. Like, if we're both not aware of, okay, Vin has his baggage and he's bringing into a relationship, which affects how he engages in certain situations. You have your baggage, which you bring in. But, like, and that's where the whole self-awareness comes into, where it's like, okay, I'm aware that this is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is informing maybe why I'm making this type of decision.
Yeah.
And so, like, you got to have a certain level of maturity to understand that that's what's happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I'd agree with that.
10 years ago, like, there's a lot of blind spots that I had where I'm like, oh, shit, I didn't know that that's why I was doing that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I would say the same thing. I didn't even realize that I... And if I even thought that I had, like, a problem with, like, all of the male population, I didn't actually realize, like, it was a problem. Like, even if I thought that I had, like, some, I was like, well, it's justified, and it's a very good, wise thing to
sure.
do. You know?
Well, that's the thing about hate, is that if you want to hate someone or something, there are ample, because of the sinfulness of the
exactly.
human nature,
exactly.
there are ample examples.
Countless examples.
If you want to hate all men, you can do that, justifiably. If you want to hate women, you can do that.
But what ends up happening is you end up looking sideways at the people that are not, that don't fit into those categories.
Right.
You know, there's...
Any little thing they do...
Right.
You will...
Right.
Yeah.
Because the radar's always up. Like, yeah. at the end of the day, like, you're a man. And so I'm like, wait. And then I'm like, no, it's Vin.
Right.
You know?
Right. And so, like, and then how do you not pass it on to your kids?
Exactly.
And how do you, because, you know, my parents, I mean, you know, God bless them, they passed on certain
yep.
mindsets onto me. And
yep.
and that'll lock you in a prison if you don't figure it out.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Exactly.
And it's interesting to see how people react to certain things on channels. Like, okay, like they've got their deeper things happening to why people react the way that they do.
What do you mean, in the comment section? Or
yeah,
their reaction
yeah,
to music,
in the comments, for sure.
Oh.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you know. So I thought that line was interesting because it's like that mm-hmm. angst that gets created. And it's like amazing, like the, for example, I was talking to a guy, and we were talking about racism, and this is one of the reasons that I have a very low bar as far as getting angry about mm-hmm. racism, because it's like, this has been passed down from generation to generation, and the world is getting more and more and more global,
mm-hmm.
and so there's a sense in which people like that are getting left behind
yeah.
to some degree, and... like, they're locked into this mentality about the majority of the people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? You know, so it's like, it's a crazy thing. Or even, like, religious people,
yeah,
you might...
you have such a low bar for it, and I don't.
Bar for what?
That, if people, like...
racism?
Yeah, people put racist stuff in the comments, and I'm like, I friggin' block your ass. But I don't for your sake. Because I don't it. Like,
I don't think that...
I think that if I was black, though, and you were white, and somebody said something about me... I think that you would have a different feeling about it.
It's very possible.
It's absolutely possible. It's
very possible. But if you talk about, like, a prison of hate, like...
But I'm getting sucked into it, too, because now I'm mad
well,
at that
exactly,
commenter.
Like, hating somebody that's a hateful person locks you into a prison of hate. See what I'm saying?
I know.
And, like, so,
and
like...
I'm locked in with that person because I keep thinking about
yeah,
their
like,
comment.
Now you're in a cell with them.
And I don't want to be in a cell with them.
And that's why I talk about, like, I'm not a very big afterlife guy. Like,
yeah.
don't worry about afterlife. Like, worry about, like, right now you're in a prison of hate. Somebody says a certain word, it fucks up your whole day. Oh, somebody called me a nigger, and I'm not talking about you, I'm just saying, like...
No, I've thought about that person 6 times already.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and, like, now you and them are in a cell together. Like, if a hateful person gets you to hate them, then you and them are now in a cell with them.
I know you're right, and I don't even like the sound of it. That annoys me.
I'm that type of guy. And there's a bunch of options when you run into a hateful person. You can go in the cell with them. You can leave them alone to their own cell, which basically ignore them. Or you can get a key and say, hey, it's better out here because it's locked from the inside. You can, like, be part of
yeah,
getting
but I don't
somebody
know,
out
I don't
of
know,
it.
I don't know what to say to get them out.
Well, you just present to them that what they've been taught of the mentality that they have about this group of people is wrong. Like, for example, like religious people. Like, think
yeah,
about.
They just didn't like the channel or the reaction that we gave.
I'm not talking about, like, somebody on a channel. I mean, there's only so much you can do on a reaction channel.
Oh. Because
you're on the internet. I mean, like, there's things that you can. One of the reasons I leave when people say words like nigger and things like that up there is because I want to show, and when I engage them, I want an onlooker to see.
No,
oh,
this
shit.
Is how we can handle
this
that.
Is how you engage them. You don't have to react every single time and get triggered. Like, I don't need a safe space. Like, I can actually engage that guy, reach out to him, and hopefully bring him out of his prison. But even if I can't, I can at least, like, display, this is how you engage somebody that's hate. Oh, we had this conversation in the Fireside Chat, right? Like, because there's a rise of ethnocentrism, let me put it that way. Because I'm not sure that racism is the line here of what's going on in, like, Brexit in Europe and what's going on in America. I'm not sure it's out and out racism. I think it's ethnocentrism, like where you're centering your ethnicity and you don't want your ethnicity to get toppled from its position. And so we were talking about this in the fireside chat yesterday, and we were like thinking through, like, how do we engage these people? Because a lot of it
episode
is like
five, if you're
punch a Nazi.
Right.
You know, like, but I feel like the minute you punch a Nazi, you are now in the prison of hate.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you.
And then the demons can feast on both of you.
Yep. No, you're right.
So.
But I feel like that you walk out your Christianity better than I do. Like, it just, somebody asked if I was a closet Satanist.
Well, I mean, the way you were jamming to
this song, my gosh.
yeah. So the prison of hate thing was, I thought that was such a brilliant line. Because hate is so,
it is so much a prison.
But it's such a deceptive prison.
You know what it is, too? It's like a friggin' magnet. Like, when you're in there, it starts sucking everything into that realm with you.
Well, yeah, it's like a black hole.
I was
like,
just gonna say, what's a vortex?
I probably a similar thing. Like, aside from pornography, I haven't seen anything as seductive as hate. Like, the power and the
promise. That it has to pull you in?
To pull you in, and people are addicted to that shit. Like, some people...
Honestly, I think it's bigger than pornography.
Well, sure. I mean, pornography is a very recent phenomenon. Hate's been around for quite some time.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, as religious people, like, we've seen it on our end, like, where, like, people have said things about atheists or people who don't believe in God. They've said some really hateful, terrible shit about these people. And yet, we were talking about before we started recording, these are some of the most generous people.
Oh, I know.
They've got, I don't know how much to say, but as far as generosity goes, 10 to 1. In 1 month, I mean, I don't know how much to say, but there are perceptions about atheists that religious people have that are completely untrue in the real world. Let me say it that way. And that in my opinion, could come very close to hatefulness.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
which I try to call out in the story that we're writing is, I'm trying to...
Yeah.
Put that out there.
Yeah.
Go ahead, what were you saying?
Well, I don't know if you're... Maybe people understand where you're going. He's just talking about the generosity that we've seen from so many people who say to us, like, I'm an atheist, I don't see things like you guys do, but I want to support you, and I think that, you know, what you guys are doing and making a better world and stuff like that, like, we've both grown up in church, and we've both done multiple different types of ministry type things within the church, and the generosity is they're not even on the same. It's
incomparable.
You can't
compare.
And the thing is, like, I honestly, the generosity that we've seen from people, this is like over the internet. Like, I think if we were face to face,
I know
it would be even.
It would be even more. Yeah.
But it just, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Very interesting. So yeah, that line just like blew me away. I was like, whoa, that's some crazy shit. Prison of hate. A lot of people don't know this, but like in, you know, like Second Temple Judaism into Christianity, you had these very, very distinct ranks of angels and demons.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like throne, principalities, powers, etc. And so this guy's saying, I'm the mightiest one. I'm mightiest am I. But I am not alone in this cosmos of mine. So it's like, he's claiming that he's the ruler of the universe.
But he's saying he's not alone, so he's not really.
But he's guarded, you know, the mortals discovering my chronicles, guarded by the old demons, even unknown to me. And to me, that says that these demons predate him. And he doesn't even know who they are.
How can a demon predate a demon?
Well, I mean, I don't think...
Are you saying just in this song?
Yeah, in this song. I don't think they're holding to Orthodox Christianity. Although, I mean, if we're taking the dissection song, if you think about it, what I said in the dissection song, somebody was like, what are you talking about? That the demons can switch teams.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Oh.
Old demons could be like, this is the guy that switched team for longer, and now, like, here he is. Ba-boom.
Smart man for ya.
This was interesting. Watching mortals discovering my chronicles.
Yeah.
Because basically what happened is, like, I travel through time and return to the future. I gather wisdom now lost. I visit again the eternally ancient caves before a mighty emperor thereupon came. So it's basically like he visited these caves and like happened to drop his chronicles of all this ancient wisdom, and then he watched the mortals discover the chronicles that he planted there, basically.
That's interesting. Weren't the Dead Sea Scrolls found in a cave?
That was what was interesting to me, is that the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in a cave by basically a shepherd boy.
Yeah.
And the Dead Sea Scrolls, you know, have a ton of, like, ancient wisdom in there. A lot of the Hebrew Bible, obviously, is found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And so, like, it was a major boon for us, right? Because now we can compare the Septuagint to the Dead Sea Scrolls, and, you know, like, for example, Deuteronomy 32:8, mm-hmm. you know, the Dead Sea Scrolls has one reading and the Septuagint has another. Mm-hmm. You know, the Septuagint has according to the number of the sons of God, and the Dead Sea Scrolls has according to the number of the sons of Israel. I mean, only I would care about something like that. But anyway, it's an interesting, like, inversion because...
Hmm. Oh, no, I know why you're saying that, yeah.
Right, so here's this demon who...
That's like, actually extremely significant.
Well, yeah, it's very significant.
That's probably another fire sign.
But that's
yeah, probably first. That one's deep.
Yeah, it's very deep.
Why in this song would, if you think that's what it is, why would he want to put out ancient wisdom that would help us to...
Well, understand. No, I'm saying it's the inversion of the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Oh. Like,
there's already that motif of scrolls
finding
being found
something
in a cave
yeah.
that contain ancient wisdom.
Right, right.
This is their version of it. How many wizards that serve me with evil, I know not. My empire has no limit. See, this guy has...
Okay, I didn't know. I was like, oh, maybe it was before he switched sides. You know what I mean? Like, maybe he gathered the wind. No, it's not though. Forget about it. Digging too deep now.
The name of the band is pretty cool, Emperor.
Why do you think that's cool?
I just think that's a cool Emperor. It just sounds very like, I am ruling shit.
Yeah. I don't even know your name.
Like, I run this shit. I am the Emperor. From the never-ending mountains black to the bottomless lakes, I am the ruler and have been for eternities long.
Yeah, it's all these terrible, never-ending mountains black. That doesn't sound fun. And a bottomless lake. First of all, I don't even like swimming in a lake because I already feel like it has that creepy bottom, like, what's in there feeling. But if the thing was freaking bottomless, you would not get me to even put my big toe in there. So,
yeah,
like, this guy is ruling all of it. The guy who locks people in hate is ruling all those things.
Yeah, it's like job application. Who would like to be an evil wizard for the rest of your days,
yep.
and then get locked into a prison of hate,
yep.
and be feasted
and then,
upon?
Yeah, and be feasted upon as you scream.
Well, that's an interesting
all
thing
right.
because
no, that's not what they do. They he said. I thought he said something in here about like that. The maybe I read it into it. I thought there was something about that. They thought that. It, meaning that he was actually the leader, but not them. Oh, my wizards are many, but their essence is mine. Like,
yeah.
Because I'm the spirit. I am them. I am them.
Oh,
so, like,
okay.
They're
so,
not themselves.
So
you
the
know
title,
I, mean? Like,
I am the Black Wizards, is actually
oh yeah,
not grammatically incorrect.
No, it's not. It's just he's saying that all of them, like, yeah, they took the job. They're doing the thing, but he's actually ruling through all
lost,
these. Like, possessing all
lost,
of them.
They've lost their essence.
The humanity and now they just have they are him.
So now it makes me think, like, isn't that what we say about Jesus? You're being conformed to the image of Christ, but you still maintain your identity.
Yes.
You're just being conformed to the image of Christ.
Yes.
Which
is interesting because a lot of you have to have a background in like being in a church. But a lot of times they want you to be like cookie cutter, like they want you to be a certain way, especially the women, like they want you to be, you know, meek and mild and, you know, whatever.
Quiet and not having it.
Yeah, but that's not actually what the Bible teaches, but you think that that's what it is. So you spend like your whole, like once you start getting like an understanding, okay, I'm talking about my personal experience. Once
right.
I started getting an understanding of who I was and I started walking in who I was, you come face to face with this, like, you need to tone it down, you need to calm it down, you need to be friggin' like everybody else, and then you start, like, I don't know, you start like throwing these ropes around yourself and pulling yourself in, and then you become, but that's not what it teaches. Like, that's not, you should maintain your person, and then you become formed in the image of Christ and do things out of that. Like, yeah. Pony, look at Pony.
Yeah, a lot, well, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
She's got like this artistic ability, and then she's being able to use it in ways that like she never has before.
A lot of that with you though was just people were just afraid of your power, period. Like, they didn't look and say, shit, this girl is powerful as hell. Like, we need to unleash her on the world and fucking let her wreck shop.
You know what's crazy? This actually kind of goes to our other thing about the atheist being, you know, very, you know, giving or whatever. The people that were the least Christian or had the most issues were the people that encouraged me in my power and encouraged me in my person.
Yeah.
But then you can't take their opinion because they're not religious. You know what I'm saying? So you have to say, well, that's what I don't want.
Oh, that was your mentality at the time?
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you kind of get sucked into...
Well, you were in a prison.
Yeah.
Of discrimination and hate. Yeah. No, that's an interesting point. Like, I am them. Like, you... It is interesting, though, because we've run into people who are extremely very, very, very dark.
Yes.
C.S. Lewis said something. It's interesting. Nobody has...
Hey, I was going to say, did anybody get that book?
Nobody's got the C.S. Lewis.
Put it on again.
Somebody actually... I will say this. Somebody guessed a correct number, but they had the numbers inverted.
Flipped them. Yep.
I almost wanted to say, you were so close! Flip the number! Flip it!
So, we've got this book, Mere Christianity. It's a really good book. And whoever can guess the number between 1 and 100, send us an email, vinandsori@gmail.com. Whoever guesses the number correctly is going to get the book sent to them.
Simon Harris just sent a 24.
Put it wrong. You got to put the number in your subject, so we don't even have to open all the emails. We'll just like scan through. So
I open all of them, though.
You're insane, Vin.
Well, I want to see if somebody said something, but so far nobody has guessed the number.
Okay, well, I don't open them. I just look for the number.
Yeah. So Lewis basically said something to the effect of like, evil is pretty much monolithic. It's always the same. Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, it's always the same shit. Crusader,
yeah.
Popes, no disrespect to the Catholics, but he said, you know, authentic Christians are extremely different. They're all over the place. Like, you look at Aquinas and Aquinas and Augustine are like miles apart. I'm not sure that can be applied across the board. But yeah, I mean, there's a very, very strong individualist sense in the New Testament. Like in the closing chapters of the Gospel of John, where Jesus and Peter start walking.
Yeah.
And Jesus says some things to Peter. And then Peter looks back at John and says, what about him?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus goes, what does that have to do with you? You follow me. Forget about him.
Yep.
And there's a lot of like, stop looking at other people. Just be yourself.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry about John. John's a different guy. You're Peter. Be you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paul. Paul, same way. Like, I'm just like, you put Paul, Peter, and John in the same room.
They're
like,
completely different.
They're completely different.
Yeah.
And like, that's encouraged in the New Testament. Not like this strict uniformity.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Did you think that, remember when we were listening to Peterson when we were walking and he was saying about like, that you shouldn't compare yourself to other people because they haven't been through the same situation as you. They don't have the same strengths, weaknesses, life experiences, whatever. So you can't compare yourself to the person next to you because it's completely different. The only person that you can compare yourself to is yourself.
That's the only person you can compete
with. So you have
to
compete with yourself, like be a better version of you today than you were yesterday.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be big, huge changes. Like, I think I really liked the part where he said, you know, like, make your bed. Some of you don't even make your bed. You're so depressed. You get up. You're sloppy all day long. You don't eat good. You know, whatever.
I'm looking
like,
in our bed right
start
now.
Start making your bed.
It's got your robe, my shirt, the blanket.
So I'm going to start with making my bed.
Yeah, but so like the spirit basically takes over these people and they kind of lose who they are.
Yeah.
I'm the spirit of their existence.
Oh, Lord.
What happened?
It was all crooked.
Yeah. So this is interesting. Sonically though, like lyrically, it was very interesting. Sonically, it was. It seemed to be a little bit before its time. This was 1994.
Yeah.
And it seems like Cradle of Filth and all these bands like
weren't on the scene yet.
No, they weren't. But like, it seems like they were heavily influenced by these guys. What did you think? What was going on with you musically, especially toward the end?
I told you. I said, Like, there was, like, that that was going on in the front, but in the back, like, I was seeing, like, well, kind of like what you're seeing on their picture now that I'm looking at it. See how there's, like, all those mountains and stuff? There was, like, these epic, you know, mountains and stuff like that that were in the background. It was just, like, going around in there and, like, the music. I just really liked some of the guitar. I think it was the guitar that they were doing that I was like, whoa, okay, like, you could kind of float on those notes. And it was so weird because it was so, like, the opposite of what the lyrics were trying to communicate, in my opinion.
But the vocals because and the lyrics vocals, were ugly, but the music was beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, I think that that's...
on purpose.
That's the essence of evil, right? Like, I think that's what they're trying to communicate, is that there's, like, this beautiful hypnotic element. But,
you're right.
But the inner kernel of it is evil.
No, you're right. Because we wouldn't be bad if it was all bad to be bad.
No.
It feels good sometimes to be bad. It
feels good a lot to be bad. That's why it's bad.
It feels good. It's so funny to see you say that. You look like a little boy. It feels good to be bad.
What do you give the song?
When we listened to it the first time, I was going to freaking give it a 1. I didn't even care. I was like, I'm going to tell these people that I freaking hate this band. I'm actually going to give it an 8.
Yeah, that's what I had. I had an 8. Emperor, boom. Vin out.
Story out.
Gone.